You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are starting a fun new series.
Oh, tell me all about it.
I'm pretty sure you know all about it already. But we are doing Kylo for Singles, which we've done before.
I know we get feedback about not talking to singles about singles or single stuff. So here we go.
Yeah. And so everything that we talk about is so applicable to any relationship, whether you're single, married, with children. I mean, I do half of the stuff with my kids. My kids are doing it to each other. So the reality is it's a relationship tools, but we are trying to put it strictly in the context of singles. And
because there's a whole set of just really unique dynamics for single people and living in today's world.
And all that that has with it.
Yeah, I have no clue how to do it.
Joking that, you know, I was single all of not any adult years, really.
All through third grade.
Yeah, all through third grade. And then after that, I was pretty much spoken for and then got married. So, but I know people. And singles are very much people, but we're excited to bring in our
That's going to come back to you, honey. That's just going to come back. Singles are people too.
They are. Yeah. So it's just the trying to create a show around how to benefit singles is really kind of this.
Yeah, and really just speak the Kylo 5 mm-hmm. into single life, but also maybe just unpack some of the uniqueness.
And the fun thing that we've been doing lately this season on the Kylo Show, which I don't know was ever the goal, but that's what it's become, is we have guests.
Yes.
And so we have lots of really fun guests planned.
We have a world-class guest today.
Yes. And so we have our first guest with us today. And we have some different ministries that are being represented as well in the series. So it's going to be a lot of fun and you want to miss it. It's kind of a different.
It is.
It's a little different than anything we've ever done. Just for you, singles.
Here we go.
Because we love you.
You got to feel the love right here.
We do. We love you. We love you. We love you. But our first guest that we have with us is really the mastermind behind the Kylo Show.
Mm-hmm.
She makes us look really good.
She's always making us look smarter than we are.
Uh-huh. And she's probably wondering why we don't always follow her notes to T, because if we did, it would be even better.
It'd be much longer,
She is, we've talked about Allie, but now you're going to get to see Allie because Allie is here with us.
You're going to get to experience.
I know. And all of her.
Allison, we know her as Allison Armadine. Yes. She just recently got married.
She did.
Allison Slack.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Allie. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. So, such an honor to be with you and visible.
Yes.
Not behind the scenes.
Up front, Allie. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is Allie in the front. Allie's always working in the back. She's been the main editor in some instances, the ghostwriter, the content developer, the spell checker, the grammar corrector.
Allie, this isn't working. Help us. How do we make this sound right? Allie is the secret sauce to how we are able to articulate all that's in our heart. So we are so grateful for Allie.
Yeah. And Allie just got married to Marvin. How long has it been? Has it been a year.
At the courthouse, September 6, 2022. We did that. And then we did a family wedding in Oregon at the end of December.
That's why it all feels so fresh. It's like, wow, this doesn't even feel a year old. It's not.
It's not. No.
Nope. It is very
She's still in honeymoon stage.
She's in lots of moons. Yes. There's several moons in your life.
Yes.
Yay. Well, Allie, so I don't know. Let's just talk about a little bit about you so we get some context here. You've been single for how many years?
Well, I got married at 41. So, and 41. I guess Irvin and I were dating for a few years. So I was technically in a relationship, but until 41. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, 41 years of navigating a single life or unmarried life. And I was thinking about it, the 41 year journey, kind of prior to this. And I would say that it kind of had three stages to it. I don't know. Shall I just tell my story a little bit? Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
you know, grew up, I was firstborn child. With that came a lot of kind of idealism and, you know, only girl as well. My mom had me reading both Pride and Prejudice and also like Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot, you know, when I was 13, and that these were sort of the narratives that shaped my vision of marriage, dating, courting, you know.
And for those who didn't read those books, what would those what would that narrative be?
Right. So very kind of idealized in a way, in the sense that these are virtuous, good people, and who are trying to do the right thing in their romantic lives. I mean, the Elizabeth Elliot story, I didn't kind of appreciate it at the time. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was married to Jim Elliot, who was a martyr. They met at Wheaton College in like the 40s and dated for 5 years. He told her he loved her, but wasn't sure he was supposed to be married because God had called him to the mission field. And so he kind of left her in this like, I love you, but I don't know if I can marry you. So we have to wait to see if God green lights that. So they waited 5 years to get married, finally got married and moved to Ecuador. And then within 2 years or some, a very short period of them being married, he gets murdered by this Stone Age tribe. She later goes back with their daughter and other wives to work with the tribe. She has a remarkable story. Remarries, I forget how much later, and her second husband dies of cancer. And then her third husband, they live, you know, they have a longer marriage, but in many ways it's very not an ideal. You know, it's not a story of you do everything right and God rewards you with a great, you know, I mean, those were all good men that she married, but there was a lot of tragedy and loss and grief and stuff. Yeah. And so, but I just had this, you know, I was very passionate for the Lord. I wanted to be, I didn't know at the time that I was a one on the Enneagram, but very perfectionistic and have this perfect life, perfect story, and that meant, you know, doing everything perfectly in dating and marriage. And then I, you know, very high purity culture. I think I read I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I don't know that I was a passionate devotee of it or anything, but didn't really date much in high school or college or school of ministry at all. I kind of had this, my parents definitely had this view, which was both singleness and marriage are equally valid paths to live out your faith and serve the Lord. And then I think it could have been more just their generation, that they lived in a time and met in a time where the marriage culture was still strong. And so it was easier to meet people that shared their values and got married, and they were friends for about 4 years before they got married. So they have a cool story, but they had a very much like a, you don't have to go out and seek this. Like when it's the right time, God will bring your person along and you just have to focus on him and what he's called you to do. My mom actually broke me and a guy up my senior year of high school that I, our pastor's son, that I was very into, but she wanted me to go to college and have this formative experience of figuring out who I was and not just kind of jumping into marriage and family. So
And just, let me just interject here.
Yeah.
Your family is a very established, educated professional. I mean, you have doctors and university presidents and all kinds of stuff sitting back there not too far. So there's a lot of big life, big people pouring into your tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think there was a, I would say my family legacy on both sides was very much about serving the Lord, you know, like you, and thankfully they had they didn't have a sacred secular thing where the only way to serve the Lord was as a pastor or, missionary, although they venerated those professions, but yeah, education, medicine, other professions, but it was, this is stuff about calling and giving an account to God at the end of your life for how you lived it. And all of this was very awareness of the world and the bigness of the world and stories of courage and people who left home to go overseas and serve, were what they, lifted up as the good examples for us growing up. And so that was, that was there. And then also my mom teaches English and music, literature, kind of humanities and arts were also a huge value in my family. And so those were ended up being my two areas of interest and passion myself. So that was nice that they were like, yes, you can serve the Lord in music, in literature, and whatever, teaching, whatever that looks like. So that's what I studied in college. So I went to college, went to the School of Ministry at Bethel for 2 years. At the end of that was two things happened, which is I decided to go back to school and finish training in music and pursue a career in opera, which didn't quite go as planned, but I did finish my training. And then I also started working as an editor. It was great. It was the time where everybody started writing books at Bethel, and there was very much an R&D kind of, oh, you have an English degree, but you haven't ever edited a book. Who cares? Just jump in. we need all the help we can get. Oh yeah,
we trust you.
I'm actually good at this. So yeah, I was kind of doing that as I was going to school and living first back in the Northwest where I grew up, and then I went to New York for grad school. And after grad school, I got invited back to Bethel to work what was supposed to be 6 months project.
12 years later.
For Moral Revolution. So Moral Revolution was still pretty new, and they were building a lot of resources. And Chris was like, I want us to write some devotionals for young people and curricula for, he wanted to write a sex ed curriculum for public schools. I'm not sure whatever happened to that. I did write one. So super random that opera singer, literary alley is leaving New York and coming to work on these projects. But I had just finished a year of working 5 jobs and struggling in New York. And I was like, 6 months of employment sounds like a good little thing to do.
One job.
And I would say that was a turning point in my single journey, because I left this kind of path that I had been on where I was pursuing my schooling and training and a career. And I had had some, I was 31 by that point, and I was like, why is this not happening? Why am I not meeting anybody? Why is my story not working out the way my parents did, where they just met each other and it was easy? And I was feeling intimidated by New York and by, I didn't know any believers in the world of opera. And I was like, I don't know if I can go in there alone. There were lots of things there. And so I come out and suddenly I'm alone in a room, essentially researching the sexual revolution and our culture and looking at things that I was vaguely aware of in the background, but not really putting the dots together about, how we got to where we are and why people are struggling so much with so many things, whether it's growing up with divorced parents and this identity struggle of that. And even if you come from a good family, when you're trying to meet people, a lot of them have baggage from broken family that they grew up in. And so it can be a struggle. And then you have, you know, pornography and the hookup culture, and how can you meet somebody that shares your values, and just so many things. Abortion, of course. I just saw it as this many-headed hydra that we had kind of unleashed in our culture. And at the same time, I distinctly remember there was one day where I was working on this devotional for, I was talking with a friend, and I was like, I'm kind of just envisioning like a 17-year-old guy and girl, you know, that I'm talking to about, you know, here's how to say yes to God's plan for your sexuality, dating, marriage, and purity and all this. And I said, I'm kind of struggling because I'm 31 and I've barely dated. Nothing has happened. I don't know that my life would be very inspiring.
I don't feel like much of an expert right here. Yeah. I can make up stuff though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. And I realized, well, I didn't realize it at the time, but in retrospect, I had just been running with this narrative, with this kind of blind expectation that, like, you just trust God and he makes it happen. You don't really need to work on this stuff. And then it's not happening. And a door opened to shame at that point in my life. The message of shame, which is that your story is really lame. Nobody would sign up to be single till they're 31 and barely date and meet, you know, not meet anybody. And like, who wants that? And I went down the toilet with this thing. I mean, it was brutal. I've never experienced, the way I describe it was, I felt like this mean bully from the moment I woke up, it would like take me out to the woodshed and just beat the crap out of me with this just barrage of, you're a piece of crap. You're the lamest person ever. Nobody will ever want you, you know, and it was relentless. And I'm just like trying to get up every day and work on this project. And everything I'm seeing is just more discouragement, more negativity. And I was a wreck. I was really struggling. And I am a very much like, never let them see you sweat. Hold on. Don't fall apart. But I was a mess, and I didn't really know how to ask for help in that time. Somehow I clawed my way across the finish line of those projects, but I was just shredded, you know, in emotionally, my identity, my story. And I went and got a sozo or two, and I knew the Lord was there, but I felt so disconnected from myself. I was just really like, who am I? I don't even like myself. You know, I was a mess. And so in that season, even though I had hated the idea, and it was so weird because I knew in my head, it's a lie to believe that, you know, the thing that's going to heal this alienation from yourself and this loneliness that has now come into your life as a result is for you to be chosen by somebody. But that lie felt so true to me, you know, that I was just longing to be chosen and loved. And I was really hurting. And so, you know, I started talking to all my family and friends and kind of just being like, oh, I'm just sad and alone. And who would ever love me? And how am I ever going to meet somebody? And I'm just so pathetic. And everybody's just kind of looking at me like, I don't even know what to say to you. I'm sorry. You know, I don't have answers. But they're like, some of them were like, you got to put yourself out there, you know, get online, da da. And I tried a few things that Bethel was offering. I did like a speed dating thing that, you know, there's people there trying to help everybody out. I tried the, you know, dating apps that were Christian and Bethel approved and all the things. And just kept getting like, yeah, no. Like the speed dating thing was one of those things where you sit with 12 people for 5 minutes
that each. Sounds exhausting.
Kind of tell you, it's so awkward. But at the end, I was just kind of like, I would have coffee with any of you guys. You're in my world. You go to church. You know, you love the Lord. You're about my age. Some of them were divorced. Some of them were never married. But I was like, what can you tell in 5 minutes? Like, let's just have a conversation. So I just said yes to everybody. And then they were like, no, everybody's no. And so I just kind of went in this place where I'm like, I don't think anybody here likes me. You know how you pick up little messages of like, you're too this, you're too intimidating, you're not pretty enough, you're not this. And I just spun with it all. And then finally, was on match.com or something. And I mean, I had my filters like Christian, you know, all these things, but I was like, okay. And I had grown up with the very strong wait to be pursued, wait to be, you know, don't mm-hmm. reach out. So this whole thing felt very uncomfortable to me. But I finally started to kind of like say hi to a few people and ended up meeting this guy. And we spoke and kind of quickly, you know, got to know each other. He had a very tragic past, which I, you know, my heal the broken bird thing, which I didn't even know was in there. My Enneagram 2 wing helper fixer. The yeah. one is the fixer. I just like opened wide to this and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, love you and you love me and this is great. And so we had a very quick, like 6 month relationship, got engaged and then he broke it off. And that was brutal because I actually slept with him, which was, you know, the thing you don't do in your, the perfect purity you know, story.
There goes your model. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Boom.
And so like a month after we got engaged, you know, and then a month later he drops me. So it's like, okay, now my story is really messed up. Now I'm just totally off the rails and you know, what now? So, and my life had kind of hit a crater because he and I had been planning to move across the country to take over some property and businesses that his family had. So I had quit my job. I had been teaching at Simpson in their music department and then work halftime and then working as an editor. I had quit those. I had moved out of my apartment. Everything I had was in my car. I had one summer job planned at a music festival. So I went and did that in the summer. A complete wreck. I was just, you know, destroyed. And my mom flew out and picked me up. We drove back from Colorado to Oregon. And that began basically a year of me just crying every day and trying to figure out what happened with my life, you know, going to therapy, lots of prayer, lots of grief. And I was grieving the relationship, but I was grieving my life, you know, myself, my story. And trying to be like, Lord, where are you? You know, do I just go be a nun and just quit this whole, I'm disqualified, you know, from dating, from marriage, from anything. I'm clearly, you know, I don't get how to do this. And so through that year, it was just beautiful how the Lord just started to unpack, you know, his love for me, who I am, who he created me to be, affirming my desires. But I would say the turning point, I was on a walk and I was like, Lord, I know you've forgiven me. I know you love me. I know you accept me. And yet I feel like you're over there and I'm just feeling still all this condemnation and judgment and failure and all this. And he's like, well, you have a God in your life, Allison. And you have an idol in your life. I'm like, what?
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, like, what? Sorry, what?
I don't have an idol. What are you talking about? And he was like, it's your own expectations for yourself, for your life. Your expectation, so essentially you know, you're the God, you're the judge, you know, you're sitting in the seat. But he used that language because I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that I was, you know, playing God. And of course, I immediately knew he was right. And he was like, you've got to lay that down and you got to let me define my expectations for your life. You know, all these ideals, all these things. And I'm still like, don't compromise your ideals, you know, but letting God write your story and redefine his expectations for you. I went on this long walk and I was just repenting and repenting. And it was powerful. Wow. I mean, it was like, I got delivered. Wow. I had to get re-delivered a few times of that. But it really clarified for me what the kind of core issue in my life is as a perfectionist, as this idealist. So that point was where I really felt like the shame, the condemnation, all that stuff finally started to really get broken off of me. And I started to walk in. I'm a human being. I'm a mess. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to, you know, try things and get hurt and learn lessons. And it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to learn how to love, you know, through this. And that's my goal. And of course, I've had Keep Your Love On in my world forever, which has been amazing. And I feel like that, you know, being a powerful person, love over fear, you know, these things have been in the background, but they kind of took on a new meaning in this stage of I'm gonna try to learn how to be more courageous and less afraid of mistakes in my life, you know, and
new weaponry.
Yeah. So I would say that began kind of, so the idealism stage, the breakdown stage, and then the now walking in kind of a new season of new expectations for my life. And really going like, okay, I actually still have this desire to be married and have a family. And I feel like the Lord even said to me in 2015, 2016, he's like, I have someone for you who's going to love you. And that just gave me a lot of hope and broke off some of the you're disqualified stuff. And so I did, I ended up spending, you know, 2 years in Oregon again with my family, then moved to Sacramento. And it was there actually that I met Marvin on a dating app. I was like, okay, I'll try this again. This is not my favorite. You have to filter a lot. I feel like everybody who's tried those things has crazy stories. literally met a guy who told me he had dissociative identity disorder and had three personalities and told me the story of his three personalities. And like, I mean, just
that's with your Christian highlighted and all the other filters.
Yeah. Okay. These filters aren't working. This filter's not working.
No, need new filter.
They don't work in my filter at all. You have to kind of really manage it because they don't work. But yeah, I mean, I had on my profile something like friends first, and Marvin also was looking for a friend. He was coming out of a broken marriage and going through divorce. And so we took things really slow. And yet, you know, his story and our marriage, he has a child. And so, you know, stepping into marrying a divorced man, becoming a stepmom, waiting for a lot of the legal stuff to get all settled, long distance. I would say our dating story was very fraught with a lot of questions and some tension. But because of the journey that I had been on with the Lord healing me, I carried a lot of hope and a lot of faith. And then I also just was watching him and seeing how he chose to move toward me. And that has been the theme in our relationship, has been, I choose you every day, you know, and we've had some moments of disconnect. And that choosing is like, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to tell you what's going on inside me. I'm going to let you see me. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. Not make you my therapist or put all this on you, but I'm going to let you in. And, just truth, you know, and friendship has been the foundation of it all yeah. along. And that's yeah. been, we're very different people, which is kind of like, okay, yes, opposites attract, men and women. Friendships.
Oh, here we go. Uh-huh. Yeah, here yeah. we go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, he'll say things like, gosh, I wish we met when you were we were 20, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't think that would have been good. I was so, who I was at that stage in my life was a perfectionist who was scared, you know, and I think yeah. I just would have missed so much and wouldn't have known how to just be and accept and, you know, be okay with things looking different than what I expected, you know.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend Charles about some really great resources.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream. And we've discovered a simple but powerful 4-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple 4-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
I just really think we all have our journeys and we have to grow and become, and we met at the time we met for a reason, you know, because of who we've become in this journey, and we're able to love each other and have this friendship because of that, because of the scars and the disappointments and the losses.
And he works all things together for our good. Yeah. Believe it or not, he works everything together for good, which I just don't think we are anywhere close to understanding how capable he is to just work it all out.
Yeah. I was thinking, Allison, I've known you for a really long time because you've been working on many projects. but I think our relationship changed when you moved down to Sacramento and you were in the office with us. You know, so I saw you in a different way than Allie that's writing on the book with my dad or working on a project for this, you know. And, you know, I have loved the process of watching you chase after different dreams that you had. Like, I remember you singing opera at random places for you're going to go be in a show. And so I saw you on the other half of your conquering the shame and really kind of that courage season of Allie. Like, that's where I saw you the most. And then when Marvin came in, I remember the process of you kind of putting him before all the different people. And what do you think? What do you think? What's going on? And then even with helping me with the book, we've talked about his son and you being a mom and like instant mom. And what does that look like? And Thanksgiving and different things that you've even just dived into. And so much of your success is really due to what you said before, beating the shame, you know, and leaning into courage and becoming the best version of Allie that has the best to offer, mm-hmm. which, and that he works all things together for good. But it is, it's definitely been really fun to be on the journey on this end. I remember the Allie almost getting married. I remember the hearing of the heartbreak and having heartbreak for you, even though I didn't know you closely. But celebrating you has been just a really fun journey. Aww. For me and all the rest of the LOP team.
And I've known you for a very, very long time too. And that may be the first time I've heard that whole story like that. Like, oh my goodness, that's, you know, like a book outline. You know, you framed it like you always do, you know. And
chapter titles. What is the goal?
Phases.
Character journey. Who's the hero? Who's the guide? Yeah. Where are we going?
Yes. Yes.
We know this.
This is a short film here. And but I think, yeah, that whether you are single or you're married or, you know, whatever, that is the human drama right there. Mm-hmm. That you what do I do with me? What do I do with the Lord? What do I do with other people in my life? Keeps coming back. So regardless of our marital status, we still have us to deal with.
Totally.
You know, it just keeps coming back to, what am I going to do with me? Mm-hmm. You know, I can be a perfectionistic control freak and I still got to control my freaking self, right? I got to still work out what does this look like to trust people, to let people see me, to let people deal with themselves, even though I care about them and not try to rescue them or control them. You know, what this, you know, tumbler, I remember when I was a little kid, they had these...
the rock tumblers?
They had this little jug you put rocks in, you know, you put this sauce in there, you just leave it on, and you get these shiny, shiny rocks at the end. It's like, wow, that really feels like life in a lot of ways is, you know, you just living the tumbler.
Totally. Well, I told Marvin too, I like who I am way more now than I did at 21.
Totally. You know,
I can't.
You're very shiny.
Imagine.
You're a very shiny rock.
I mean, I think that's the real win in the journey is who you're becoming, obviously, is the whole point. You know, God is forming you. But with that is, can you be at home in yourself? Do you like to live in yourself in this body with your life? You know, yeah. Can you be at home with you and be happy? And you know, getting married is not gonna solve that. You want to bring that, I'm good with me, you know, and no matter what you do. And you want to find someone who is good with them too, you know, or even if they're working through some insecurities still, it's a safe, you create a safe place for that because, you know, your insecurities are not vibing and creating this like amplification of that, you know, in the relationship. And I feel like that is something that he and I have found together, and I'm just like, we couldn't have done that at 20. Like we, And so I feel every day if there's one word to describe what I feel every day after that season of, you know, coming out of shame, it's just gratitude. I feel so much gratitude for my life, for the Lord, my connection with the Lord. It's the joy that I have in Jesus, in just who he is, that I have him, that he is my source of love, my rock, my friend, my husband, you know, he is that for me, even as I'm married, you know, Marvin can't replace that. And I have this source of life and love and joy that is, and peace that is always there. And that is the greatest treasure of our life. I mean, that's what we're here to find, you know, and single or married. And so I just have this like, thank you that you helped me get over myself and you helped me find you. And yeah, I had to go through the rock tumbler and get disillusioned and, you know, in the best way. But life is so much better now. It's like,
totally.
Totally. Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Eat, Pray, Love?
I haven't before. Actually. No.
I watched it recently. Anna said we should watch this when I was doing my audiobook recording. So we were watching it. And it is this journey that a woman goes on to find herself. Obviously, she's not looking at the source. She's looking at other sources as far as trying to figure out who she is. But the one of the quotes in there is, I'm going to butcher it, but it's something along the lines of, your soulmate shouldn't be someone that fixes you, but someone that shows you a mirror and reminds you of how great you are. Mm-hmm. And I just think with your journey of confronting yourself and learning to love Allison, learning to be so submitted to the Father, puts you in a position of, I'm looking for the right soulmate rather than I'm trying to get somebody to be something for me that I'm missing. And this becoming a friend, I love that that was such a key element to your discovery of Marvin was, we're going to become friends.
That's such a crucial piece that most, I would say, most marriages, especially the ones that end up in the biggest trouble, they never caught on to the goal of our relationship is to enjoy each other.
Yeah.
You know, that we would enjoy each other. That's our goal. So let's keep figuring out ways to enjoy each other instead of endure each other. Mm-hmm. Regardless, you know, it becomes a goal of surviving this marriage,
seriously,
surviving this person. You know, the goal is distance, mm-hmm, and I'll just, you know, stay married for the kids or whatever. And that is the dumbest thing you can do. The thing that you have to learn in life and relationships is sort in the ones that provide the most joy and safety and fulfillment and strength, and set boundaries with those that don't.
Yeah.
You know, a single person's journey really is, how do you generate a life where you are thriving, mm-hmm, from the inside out? Mm-hmm. And your journey, Allie, just kind of points to this progressive, I got to enjoy me. I got to enjoy me.
Yes.
And until I enjoy me, no matter who I put in here is going to get caught in my, mm-hmm, suffering.
Yep. Being friends is great. I know that Ben and I don't really have much of a single story, but what we did really well is we became really good friends.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is along with quite a few other things, but that has been such a huge foundation to success of enjoying each other's. We became really good friends. Yeah. And you did long distance. We did long distance. It forces you to exercise a muscle that is not physical, which is so element that is crucial.
You're hardly having sex with any of your friends, you know? How confusing would that be?
I hope so.
Hey, can
I hope
we be friends? Can we be friends? Hey, yeah. I got all kinds of friends. Like, okay, calm down. But the skill of being a good friend, mm-hmm, being a nourishing friend, being a healthy friend, that is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and friendship is, you know, real life is happening and you're walking alongside each other. And I think about a year into us building this friendship, Marvin had moved back to San Diego. So we were doing this long distancing and, you know, because of when I met him, I knew that he's recovering from some difficult experiences in his life. And there was sort of this thought of like, do I just give him space? Like, hey, go off, go to therapy, fix all that, you know, let me know when you're done. And there was one day where he and I had been talking and he was just being really honest with me that he was struggling with some, you know, depression feelings and, you know, was feeling low. And I was just kind of like, okay, God, what do I do right here? You know, because I think there is that thing when you're dating, It's like, I want to find somebody who's going to reciprocate and nourish me as much as I'm nourishing them. And, you know, there's this, we're in a moment where it feels like he can't maybe give back to me what I could give to him, because I've walked through a lot of healing and I'm good. You know, I'm in a good spot. I have life to offer here, you know, and he's trying to rebuild some things. And so I was on another walk talking to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, how do you see this? Do you do it? You want me to just pull back and wait? And, you know, and he was like, Allison, you're like Sam to his Frodo right now, Lord of the Rings. And
classic.
And it so surprised me, because I was expecting the, you know, yeah, give him space kind of a thing, let him get healed and all this. And he's like, he's carrying a burden, you know, but he's going to get rid of it. Like, it's not forever. He's on this path and he's working through stuff, and but it's going to be over. And you are being a friend to him in a way that is beautiful to me, and loving him in a place where it maybe isn't fully reciprocal in this moment. But you know, that's not going to be forever. And when you have these moments in a friendship where you're able to love the other person, you're investing in your future, you know, where it will come back to you. And that was a moment of faith. I was like, okay, that feels like jumping off a cliff, you know, and to just stay in this, you know. And, you know, there's been other moments in 3 years of like struggle and stress, but he came through that and he's still coming through that. And then we've just had these moments where he's like, I am so grateful for you, you know, and he's able to pour back into me. And, you know, we have lots of enjoyment and fun and doing that. And so
it's great.
I think that's another part of it is, life has tough spots, you know, but you watch Band of Brothers, or you watch movies about like what forges the deepest friendships, right? It is the moments where you're in the trenches together sometimes. And it's like, you were the person that was there for me, you know, in that really.
I love what Sam said when he's like, I may not be able to carry that ring, but I sure can carry you. You're like, there you go. That's a friend. Like,
okay, God, the last relationship, I did try to fix the thing and the broken bird thing. And that was, I'm not supposed to do that. You know, I was like freaking out. And he said, it's different. He's a different person. He's not going to respond in the same way that person did. And you're doing this as a different person too, you know,
totally.
More wisdom, you know, where the boundary is, where to stop.
Yes.
There's a difference between, you know, carrying the ring, you know, like wrestling the ring out of somebody's hand. I'll carry that.
Give it to me.
And that's your life. You know, let me carry your life. Your challenge is your problem. Let me work harder on you than you do. Mm-hmm. And being a super available, supportive friend who keeps reminding them that, you know, you got this. You got this.
So a great clue for our singles is, are you able to be a Sam?
Be a Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And looking to become a friend. Because on the other side of this, you know, being married, enjoying this person, Ben and I will be 20 years married and we still enjoy each other because we did such a great job of being friends in the beginning. So.
Yeah, I think Sherry and I, it took way too long for us to learn that lesson, you know, so we had a really rough time. And
you had a long time in the tumbler together?
We had a really long time in the tumbler, but I think the idea of enjoying each other was a relatively past halftime, you know, 39 years this year. So somewhere in the late teens, you know, I think we started realizing, you know what, we got to maybe enjoy each other. It took us 33 years to decide to work together. You know, we worked in similar environments, but
I caught some of this.
You go to school of ministry, I'll work in the church. Okay, we both work at Bethel.
Allison was part of the book that never happened. You forgot about that.
So I'll work in Bethel. You work the Civic Center. Yeah, that, we both work in Reading. That's not the same thing as working together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've had to, yeah. And then this recent stuff that we've been doing has really been the Tumblr. The Tumblr went on kind of rocket speed in the last little while, and that did a lot of that. That did a lot of shuffling and prioritizing as well. Allie, thank you so much for your time, for yourself. We so appreciate you.
Our super
Allie.
I know
you're somewhere in Arizona at this point in time, but you're always in our hearts, and you're the super, super valuable part of our team. Mm-hmm. And we love you.
Yeah, we do.
I love you too. You're my family, and so grateful for you. And yeah, wherever I am in the world, I know I go around a lot. I bounce around. But.
Well, I'm so glad that everybody got to actually meet you.
Yeah,
since you play such a huge part of the show, and we couldn't be here without you. So, Kylo Show fans, this is the famous Allie. So
this
glad
is
that
Allie
she's
we
you got to hear from her today. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Kylo Show. And remember, whole healthy people create whole healthy families. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of the Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.